Chapter 67. Lieutenant rattled heavily upon the floor as he seated himself at the table. Mr. Simon's fears almost overcame his reason. "The brandy, my dear." said the captain. Here was a situation. They were going to make a night of it. And Mr. Simon Tucks was pent up behind the curtain and afraid to breathe. "Slaughter," said the captain, "a cigar?" Now, Mr. Simon Tucks never could smoke without feeling it indispensably necessary to retire immediately, and never could smell smoke without a strong disposition to cough. The cigars were introduced. The captain was a professed smoker, so was the lieutenant, so was Joseph Tucks. The apartment was small, the door was closed, the smoke powerful. It hung in heavy wreaths over the room, and at length, found its way behind the curtain. Simon Tucks held his nose, his mouth, his breath. It was all of no use. Out came the cough. "Bless my soul!" said the captain. "I beg your pardon, Miss Tucks. You dislike smoking?"
"Oh, no, I don't indeed," said Charlotta.
"It makes you cough."
"Oh dear no."
"You coughed just now."
"Me, Captain Waters."
"Lor, how can you say so?"
"Somebody coughed," said the captain.
"I certainly thought so," said Slaughter.
"No, everybody denied it."
"Fancy," said the captain.
"Must be," echoed Slaughter.
Cigars resumed more smoke, another cough smothered, but violent.
"Damned odd,"
said the captain, staring about him.
"Singular,"
ejaculated the unconscious Mr. Joseph Tucks. Lieutenant Slaughter looked first at one person mysteriously, then at another. Then, laid down his cigar, then approached the window on tiptoe, and pointed with his right thumb over his shoulder, in the direction of the curtain.
"Slaughter,"
ejaculated the captain, rising from table, "what do you mean?"
The lieutenant, in reply, drew back the curtain and discovered Mr. Simon Tucks behind it, pallid with apprehension, and blue with wanting to cough.
"Aha!" exclaimed the captain, furiously.
"What do I see?"
"Slaughter, your saber!"
"Simon!"
Screamed the Tuxes.
"Mercy!"
Said Belinda.
"Platonic!"
Gasped Simon.
"Your saber!"
Roared the captain.
"Slaughter, unhand me the villain's life!"
"Murder!"
Screamed the Tuxes.
"Hold him fast, sir!"
Faintly articulated Simon.
"Water!"
Exclaimed Joseph Tucks and Mr. Simon Tucks, and all the ladies forthwith fainted away, and formed a tableau. Most willingly would we conceal the disastrous termination of the 6 weeks' acquaintance. A troublesome form, and an arbitrary custom, however, prescribed that a story should have a conclusion, in addition to a commencement. We have therefore no alternative. Lieutenant Slaughter brought a message, the captain brought an action. Mr. Joseph Tucks interposed, the lieutenant negotiated. When Mr. Simon Tucks recovered from the nervous disorder into which misplaced affection, and exciting circumstances, had plunged him, he found that his family had lost their pleasant acquaintance, that his father was minus £1,500, and the captain plus the precise sum. The money was paid to hush the matter up, but it got abroad notwithstanding, and there are not wanting some who affirm that three designing impostors never found more easy dupes than did Captain Waters, Mrs. Waters, and Lieutenant Slaughter, in the Tuxes at Ramsgate. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.